to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is A to Z of installing WebSphere Service Registry and Repository version 7.5. Today's presenters are Prasad Imadi and Kailash Perry. Prasad is a senior software engineer working in Level 2 support and has expertise in multiple WebSphere products in the SOA space. Prasad works with customers worldwide with a focus on integration problems as well as works on product troubleshooting issues. Kailash works with AIM Customer Support Organization, supporting WebSphere Service Registry and Repository and WebSphere Message Broker products. He has been working with WSRR for the past 3 years, providing support resolution to customer issues worldwide. At this point in time, I would like to pass the presentation over to Prasad and Kailash.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. This is Kailash Perry along with Prasad Imandi. Today's topic, A to Z of installing WebSphere service and registry and repository. We are going to cover most of the installation aspects that deal with version 7.5. And during the presentation, we'll also talk about version 7.0 briefly just to give you the aspects of the differences between version 7.5 and 7.0. With that said, let's move on to slide number 2 for today's agenda. Today's agenda, we will split it into two parts. The first part, we will cover the basic GUI installation, and that will be followed by how to install WSRR silently, followed by the various topologies that can be used to install WSRR on. And in part 2, we will discuss how to create different WSRR profiles, and also we'll delve into the topologies in detail of basically discussing standalone, federated, and cluster topologies. Then we will talk about how to create the databases manually and what are the privileges that are needed, so on and so forth. And then we will go into the aspects of business space, what needs to be done to install business space during the installation of WSRR. Then we will talk about the different logs that are generated, and we will talk about what logs you need to refer to for troubleshooting purposes. And finally, we'll have a couple of slides on the additional resources that are available for all of you to reference WSRR and the forums that are there out on the web. With that said, I will give it to Prasad, who will take you through the GUI installation part. Prasad?
Thank you, Kailash. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're joining us from. I want to thank you for taking the time to attend this session today. As Kailash stated, we are going to talk about pretty much A to Z of installing WSRR. We've decided to break it into two parts, really, to create that structure where part one is focused on installing, as in actually the software product install, and part two with focus on creating the topologies and the WSRR profiles. Moving on to chart 3, I'll start off with some of the basics in terms of how you install the product. And WSRR is installed, it provides a launch. When you download and unpackage the software product files, you will get a launch pad, which actually under the covers starts off the installation manager. So I wanted to mention that WSRR, as with our other IBM BPM software, uses installation manager. I'm just going to quickly take you through the the install process using the GUI. This is mostly selecting a few options based on your environment, and it mostly is going to be, you know, going through the panels and clicking on the mouse and choosing your options. Chart 3 is the first screen that you will look at, which provides the option of typical or custom install. I've decided to highlight custom install because in our experience, that is the most common install that most of the users would like to go with. If you choose typical install, usually the typical install would be a good way to go if you are installing on a very clean machine. Maybe it's for local usage for your team, and what you get with a typical install is it lays down the installation manager, WebSphere, WSRR, DB2 Express, and it also configures the software for you. We like to call it as a one-click install, but overall that's what a typical install does. It just takes you through installing the complete product, including the prerequisites that are required for WSRR. Let's look at custom install, which gives you some flexibility in terms of how you want to install. And what custom install gives for you is the various options in terms of choosing which components or which prereqs you need to install. Moving on to chart 4, this is the second screen typically that you would look at, where you have the option to select if you want to use the administrative user as installer's root or non-root. And as I stated earlier, much of these panels, as you probably are aware, are mostly choosing the various options and clicking on the buttons to go to the next panel. On chart 4, if you look to the left on the screenshot, you'll see the other various options that are possible using the GUI install. We're not going to go to that at this point, but I just want to mention that this is pretty much the installation manager screen that you're going to look at. Moving on to chart 5, this is where the custom install gives you the options to choose to install the various packages. By default, you'll see the packages on the screenshot selected, which is you'll see WebSphere 7.0.0.17 level, which is the WebSphere level packaged with WSRR, and you'll also see the WSRR version 7.5 base level, and also provided within the package is Business Space, which is a component that is used for WSRR functionality. Clicking on Next is going to take you to the next screen, where this is mostly routine information. We're on chart 6 for those of you who are looking at a hard copy. What you're seeing here through the panels is mostly, should not be a surprise for you, because this is typically what installation manager panels look like. On chart 6, we're pretty much agreeing to the terms and conditions, and it shows you the software you've selected to install. And you move on to chart 7 by clicking Next, which is where the most common option that you go with is creating a new package group. It is possible to use an existing package group if you already have WebSphere installed on your environment, where if you already have the WebSphere 7.0.0.17 as a separate install on your environment, it is possible that you don't have to reinstall WebSphere. You can unselect it in the prior screens, and on chart 7 within the screenshot, you can actually go use an existing package group. The other important point I want to mention here is the install directory. As you've noticed, these screenshots were captured on a Windows machine. However, the process is not very different across multiple platforms and would be the same for Unix as well. At this point, I briefly want to touch upon ZOS. If any of you are using ZOS environment, the installation for ZOS, while this presentation is not really covering ZOS, I just wanted to briefly mention that the installation process on ZOS is not very different, except the installer is a native ZOS installer. Moving on to chart 8, the next panel you look at is the option to choose between a 32-bit product install and a 64-bit in terms of the architecture that you want to go with. There's not much for me to talk about this because this is a customization that you have to choose based on your preference for your environment. So let's quickly move on to chart 9, which shows you more or less a summary of what you've selected. It shows you the space requirements, and it gives you the install button, which is the button that really kickstarts the install. Moving on to chart 10, I've included this just to show that you get this status bar at the bottom to really show the install. In our experience, based on the environment, the installation could take a good amount of time. What do you think, Kalash? Like 30 minutes to more than 30 minutes? Typically, yeah, that is the time frame you're looking at. So if you get to this panel and if it's taking time, don't cancel it, or don't think that it's stuck somewhere. It's just laying down the software that you've selected on the disk. And once the install is complete, it's going to present to you the panel on chart 11, which is the final screen that you will look at, which gives you the option to kickstart the profile management tool if you want to configure the profiles, or you can choose to go with you do not want to configure the profiles at this point, and then use manage profiles to actually use the scripts to create the profile. So what we did just now is, like I said when I started, we split this into two parts. The first part we are addressing here, we're talking about here, is the actual laying the product onto the disk using the GUI, and Kalash is now going to talk about the same process using the silent or the command line install. And once we got the product installed on the disk, then we will cover the actual profile creation. At this point, I'll turn it over to Kalash to cover the command line install.
Thanks, Prasad. Okay, as Prasad mentioned, the silent installation is going to do exactly the same thing what you have seen in the GUI cases. Most customers who are running on Unixes or in environments where they don't have GUI interfaces, they choose to install the product silently. So the silent installation, again, uses Installation Manager under the covers, and the way it is kicked off is it reads a response file, and we are on chart 12, by the way. So it reads a response file. So when you untar the package or unzip the packages that you have downloaded, there is a sample template response.xml file that is provided, which is what, like, I'm going to take it as the starting point and explain the details. So what happens when you use the silent installation is it's going to install Installation Manager if it is not there on your box already, because there can only be one instance of Installation Manager on a system. And if you have Installation Manager already, and if it's an older version, the silent install is going to upgrade the existing Installation Manager to 1.4.2, which is supplied with the product. After it installs Installation Manager, the silent installation is going to install WebSphere Application Server. After that, it will lay down the WSRR image, and then it'll install Business Space. Okay? Now, moving on to slide 13, let's talk about how the installation manager is going to be kicked off. So I'm highlighting here on this slide the various commands that are used in the script for Windows and on Unix or Linux boxes. If you're on a Unix or Linux box, and if you are using as a, if you are installing as a root, under the covers, installation manager is going to invoke install C command. Whereas if you are a non-root installation, it will use user inst C command. And it will be like, you know, we'll pass a bunch of arguments specifying where the template response.xml file and some other options that are related to the installation manager which are required on the command line. And also we record all the input, like our, all the output from the installation manager in a log file. And same thing with Windows as well. If you're using as an admin user, we'll use install c.exe, and if you're running as a non-admin, it will be user inst c.exe command. Okay? Let's move on to slide 14. Now, I'm going to split this template response.xml file and it give you all the details what exactly is happening under the covers. So it's an XML file, and the first section is the header section. It will contain a list of repositories that are on the install image, okay? The first repository location is the IAM repository itself. And the next one is the WAS sync repository, which is used for the application server installation. And the last one is the repository. The last repository is called repository, which will contain both WSRR and Business Space repositories. And the last line if you, on the slide, if you see, the preference value, by default, this is set to true. On systems where if you where you're installing, which do not have internet access, you need to set this value to false, because otherwise installation manager by default is going to go onto the web and search for updates for all these repositories. So if you are behind a firewall or if your system that you're installing does not have internet access, just change this value to false before you kick off the installation. All right, moving on to slide 15. The next section is the package installation derivatives. So for every package or for every software that we are going to install, there are some derivatives. The first one is the IAM derivative. Again, like installation manager is pretty smart in the sense like, you know, if it recognizes that there is install and if it is the latest version, it will skip this section. Whereas, like, if you have an older version of Installation Manager, it'll say, okay, I have an older version. The repository that I'm looking at is later version. It will go lay down all the Installation Manager files in the particular location. The only thing that you need to do, if you have an existing Installation Manager, you basically have to change the install location to match the existing Installation Manager. Like I said a couple of seconds ago, there can only be one installation manager, so the install location has to match your existing install location. All right? And the other thing that you would need to set is the Eclipse cache. You need to set, like, the Eclipse cache to match your existing Eclipse cache if you have installation manager already, or specify any directory where you want to store the Eclipse cache. Again, on this slide, I've chosen to highlight a Unix-style installation. If you're installing on Windows, basically change your directories to where you want Installation Manager to be installed. Okay? And the last install offering is basically COM IBM CIC agent is what stands for Installation Manager. Let's move on to slide 16. This is the section where we install the installation directive for installing WebSphere application server. If you see, I have highlighted some of the things on this chart. The ID field, this is very important if you're doing a silent install. The ID field is referenced here and a couple of slides later. And that ID has to match everywhere. It has to be the same ID that you're going to use for one particular WSRR and WebSphere installation. Okay? And if you want to install a 64-bit WAS image, then the last highlighted section where it says user.select64-bit, that is basically installing a 64-bit WAS install. If you want to install 32-bit, change that to user.select32-bit.image. Okay? And the Eclipse location is, again, the Eclipse location for WAS. So you need to select the WAS install directory under where Eclipse will be stored. All right, move on to slide 17. The other section is basically for the package derivatives for App Server, WSRR, and Business Space. Here, even though, like in the previous slide, we mentioned it as ID, here we confuse users by saying it's profile. Okay? The profile name that you're choosing has to match the ID in the previous slide. All right? It has to be the same. Otherwise, the install will fail. Okay? And if you see, there are three packages that we are installing here. One is the WAS, ND, and Business Space, and WSRR. Let's move on to slide 18. This is the section where we specify a bunch of properties, and we clearly say do not modify this section at all. These are for installation manager only, and if you leave this section untouched, and that will basically complete your template response.xml file. And you kick off the install, it will lay down all the images, and once the images are laid out, we can go ahead, like, you know, create the profiles. We'll come onto those slides after Prasad is done with his topologies, again, using the GUI part. Prasad?
Thanks, Kalash. So what we've seen up till now in the presentation is installing WSRR, as in installing the software in your environment, and we've covered installing using the GUI, which is Installation Manager, and we'll cover the equivalent installing using command line or silent install and the various properties and the configuration that you need to do. Now let's talk about an important topic, which is topologies. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are well aware and have a WebSphere background, so I'm not going to cover the basics of WebSphere here, but I'll directly get into the various topologies that are possible. And this is no different than WebSphere. We're on chart 19, for those of you who are following through the hard copy. WSRR pretty much is a WebSphere-based product, so it adheres to the WebSphere architecture and the topologies. The three topologies that are possible are the standalone, federated node, and the cluster. And looking at the topologies from installing the software point of view, let's quickly cover what you need to do to get the product installed in these three different topologies. The first one, the standalone topology, is pretty simple. It's you have everything on the same machine. You go with a simple install. Usually with this kind of an environment, the database is most likely going to be local, or it could be remote, depending on your configuration. For federated node type topology, you must install the product on both the deployment manager as well as on the node. So you're really going through two different installations at this point, because WSRR needs to exist and be installed on both the deployment manager and the node. And with this type of configuration, it's very common, from what we've seen, users deploy WSRR, it's very common for the database to be remote. And we do have a database section later in the session that we will, when we will talk about how to configure your databases. But right now, just suffice to say that it is possible for you to have a database located remotely. And the third type of topology is the cluster topology, and very similar to federated node. For a cluster topology, you must install WSRR on the deployment manager as well as on the nodes. In a cluster, usually you will have more than one node, and so do keep in mind that WSRR must be installed on all the nodes that are going to be part of the cluster. And typically, database is going to be remote, very similar to the federated topology in a cluster topology. That's been our observation. Moving on to chart 20, let's now look at, we've covered the install of the product. Now let's get into the actual WSRR profile creations and profile creations for different topologies, and we'll look at, you know, database scripts and database creation, and we'll talk about business space, which is a component that on which, you know, WSRR provides a few widgets and functionality to work with the product. And finally, we'll wrap up with talking to you about the various logs that are generated through this process. Moving on to chart 21, as with part one, what we're going to do with part two is I'm going to go through the profile management tool, the GUI-based profile creation, and I let Kailash cover the more exciting manage profile command so he can give you information about the response files and the various options possible. Chart 21 shows pretty much the first panel in the profile management tool, which you can start off from the WebSphere bin profile management directory. I believe that's where you'll find this executable or the batch file. And once you have WSRR software installed in your environment and you start profile management tool, you'll see the WSRR profiles visible in the profile management tool. And this is what I've highlighted on this chart. I apologize that the screenshots are very grainy looking, and we just have, you know, only so much space to really maximize the landscape there. So, but hopefully you can see what I'm focusing on there, which is the different WSRR profiles that are possible. There's a standalone, there is a deployment manager type, and there's a custom profile type. So in this case, I'm going to walk you through the standalone panels, and I will cover the other profile types as well, but overall, from a walking through the panels point of view, it should be not very different than what you see for standalone. So let's move on to, we've selected standalone service registry profile template, and moving on to chart 22. These panels are not very different to what you would see for a standard WebSphere profile creation, so I'm going to just walk you through these quickly. On chart 22, you have the option of a typical versus an advanced profile creation, where the typical would take you through very similar steps as creating a typical WASP profile. We typically see most users, and I personally prefer going through the advanced profile creation because it gives me the options to customize, choose the cell name and node name and server name and things like that. So moving on to, we're selecting the advanced profile creation, and moving on to chart 23, what's highlighted on this chart is the profile name and the directory for the profile, and that's pretty much it to talk about on this chart. And moving on to chart 24, this is again, like I said a minute ago, this is no different than what you will see if you were to go through a standard WAS profile creation steps using profile management tool. The properties you're giving on chart 24 are the node name, the server name, and the cell name. And moving on to chart 25, Now, this is a WSRR-specific panel because what this gives you is the option to configure business space. In a standalone profile creation, business space is configured for you automatically for WSRR if you were to check this box. Now, it's possible that you can use an existing business space in your environment if you want to, in which case you will need to customize it yourselves, but normally if you're going through a standalone WSRR install, this option is checked for you and business space will be configured as a part of profile creation. Moving on to chart 26, this is, again, a chart, a panel specific to WSRR because we're getting into the database creation and configuration steps. The three highlighters on this chart are the first one is the database product. WSRR supports different databases like DB2, Oracle, SQL Server, just to mention a few there. And the second highlight is actual properties of the database, which is the database name, in terms of what do you want to call. WSRR gives you the option to create three separate databases, one for the WSRR data itself, and the second is for the activity logging, and the third is for the SI bus configuration. We're not going to go into the specifics of these databases and what they are meant for, but it just suffices to say that it's possible for you to configure WSRR to use one database for all three of this functionality, or you can go with through three different databases, really depending on your environment and what your objective is. The third highlighter on this chart gives you the option of letting the installer create the new database for you, or you have the other choices there, which are you can configure the database tables on an existing database if you like, or you want to use an existing pre-configured database, so you don't want the installer or the profile creation tool to really present you with the database panels, or you want to, if your database is remote, you can let the profile creation tool generate the scripts for you, the database scripts that you can move to the database machine to create and configure the database for you. Moving on to chart 27, we're talking about, again, more database information here and database-specific information here. These panels, as I stated, are very specific to WSRR, and the various properties that you see on chart 27 are the user ID for the database, the password, and the host name, the directory. If you choose to if the database is local, then you're giving the directory of the database where it's located, and those are all the database very specific properties that you have on this panel that you're looking at. Now moving on to chart 28, this is a summary chart. Again, it's not any different than the WASP profile creation summary chart, except it has WSRR-specific summary information, mostly around business space configuration and database. And once you click Create, what you'll see is, you know, it goes off and creates the profile for you, which is ready to be used. It configures the database depending on your database choices. And if database is remote, then do keep in mind that you need to complete the database configuration before you can really use this profile. It's very important. Otherwise, if you were to start the profile without the database configuration, it will result in exceptions as expected. We just covered the standalone panels using Profile Management Tool, and I just want to briefly touch upon Deployment Manager and Managed Node creation using Profile Management Tool. The only difference when we're talking about Deployment Manager is on the first panel when you start Profile Management Tool, if you want to create a Deployment Management profile, you're going to choose the profile type of Service Registry Deployment Manager. And likewise, moving on to chart 30, if you're creating a custom profile, a managed node for WSRR, you're going to choose the service registry custom profile as the profile template. Now, the one thing, if you noticed, we haven't covered or haven't talked about is the actual federation of the nodes to the deployment manager and the specifics thereof. I did not cover that aspect of profile management and environment, you know, topology creation, because those are very standard WebSphere configuration steps. It is possible to install WSRR. Well, I don't want to use the word install and confuse you. Let me just say it's possible to augment WSRR to an existing WebSphere topology, as in if you already have an existing WebSphere cluster, you can install WSRR on the deployment manager and the nodes, and you can augment and federate. So those are the specifics that are really very no different to WSRR than WAS, and they're mainly WebSphere concepts. So I'm not touching upon those, assuming that you're familiar with how to create WebSphere federated topology and cluster topology. What we cover now is how to create WSRR profiles using profile management tool. And we talked about how to create not just standalone, but also deployment manager and managed node, and briefly about the topologies of federated and cluster. And now we're going to do the same for command line, and Kailash is going to walk us through the various steps involved to create WSRR profiles using the manage profiles command.
Okay, let's move on to slide 31. One thing before we talk about this slide, the profile management tool is only available on 32-bit WAS installs. So if you have installed 64-bit WAS installation, you will not have the profile management tool. Even though you have the ability to use the GUI, profile management tool is only available as a command line option. So if you have chosen a 64-bit WAS installation, this applies for everyone who wants to do command line installs plus whosoever has WAS 64-bit installations. So like the GUI install, what it does under the covers is it runs the manage profiles command. So if you are trying to install silently, once the WS binaries are laid out, to create WSRR profiles, you will use the manage profiles command. And manage profiles command is located in the WAS bin directory. It's a shell script, I believe. And WSRR provides a bunch of response files, sample response files, based on the type of database that you're using. So all these response files are located under the WAS install there, WSRR install profile response files. So depending on your platform, you will use manage profiles shell or batch file, and you will invoke it manageprofiles.shell or bat space dash response, and you will give the path to your response file. So here I've shown a couple of examples. One is on a Windows box creating a DB2 standalone database, like with separate databases. Like Prasad explained, we can use separate databases or a single database for WSRR. And the next example I've given is with a single database, and I've used Oracle as an example here. So you can tailor these files based on your environment. So let's go on to slide 32 and talk about the response files themselves. So here, if you see at the top of the file, after the comments, there is a create. So this is for installations where you do not have an existing WAS install, or you're going to create the profile. If you have a profile already, you're basically going to change this to augment. So the create is going to create a WSRR profile. And the next one is the profile name that you want to create. So you can give it any name you want. and specify the profile path in the WAS install location. Under profiles, it'll create the profile name directory. And the template path is basically the template file that you're going to use. In case of standalone installations, you will use the profile template default.wsrr. There are two other profile templates. One is manage.wsrr, and the other one is dmgr.wsrr. Based on if you are using a federated, you'll use dmgr.wsrr, and if you're on a cluster, you'll use manage.wsrr, the profile template. Okay, let's move on to slide 33. Okay, this file contains all the other settings for WAS and WSRR. So if you want to enable your WAS security, set that enable admin security to true. But if you don't want any security, which I don't believe most of the customers would like to use it, but you can set it to false. And again, the WAS admin name and the admin password, you have to specify it here so that you can log onto your admin console. And it also has some settings for WSRR settings. If you want to log into your WSRR console or the web UI, you will specify what user IDs you want to, by default, you want to configure as. And the JMS username and JMS password, you will configure so that the JMS connections are created for you. All right, let's move on to slide 34. This is where you will set up your database configuration. So if you have created the database already, you will say WSRRDB already configured to true. But most cases, if you have not configured, you will leave it as false, and the next flag is WSRRDB create new, whether you want the database to be created or if you have created the database already as a separate step or on the side, you will set this to false so there are no databases created. Or you can also set WSRRDB delay config to false or true so that you want to create the SQL scripts, but you choose to execute them later if the database is in a remote box. All right? And you also have an option to specify the directory where you want these generated SQL scripts to be put in. That is WSRRDB output scripts directory. All right? And based on your database type, you would have to uncomment one of these types, or you have to set WSRRDB type to whichever database that you're going to use. So suppose if you're using DB2, it will be DB2 Universal, or if you're using Derby, we support Derby also, but it's only for test purposes. You cannot use Derby on a production system. Again, for Oracle 10G or 11G or DB2 on ZOS, you will specify DB2 on 390. Okay, let's move on to slide 35. This is where you specify where your database is going to be located. So the WSRRDB location is basically the database location with the database install directory. And the next setting, WSRRJDBC class path, is where the JDBC drivers for that particular product, DB2 or Oracle or SQL Server, are located. And the next one is the user ID and password for your database. And the next one is the table space directory that WSRR uses, so you can specify any directory that you want the table spaces to be created. All right? Let's move on to slide 36. Again, a bunch of database parameters. If you want to use separate databases, you specify all these, or you can specify the same database just like you have done in the GUI. The first top one is for WSRR. The next one is for the activity logging database. And the last one is for SIBUS. Okay, one important thing is the WSRRDB user ID and password. I recently worked with one customer where they have left this WSRRDB user ID as it is, and they did not have that user ID created. So what we do during the install phase is we try to connect to that database with that particular user ID. And also make sure that this user ID does not exceed 8 characters. Because in this particular customer's case, they had like their convention was like to use more than 8 characters, and we give a nice warning saying it cannot be more than 8 characters. And the last setting on this foil is configure business space. Do you want to configure a business space? If you want to configure business space, leave it as true. Otherwise, you can set it to false. So if you set it to false, we will not configure business space. All right? Let's move on to the next foil, 37. And I will let Prasad talk about this profile creation.
Sure. So to kind of recap, we in part two of this talk, we talked about WSRR profile creation using profile management tool, and we also talked about using the command line manage profiles. I briefly touched upon topologies for WSRR profiles, and I want to continue to discuss the various topologies that are possible, and as stated earlier in part one, these are no different than WebSphere topologies. But let's take a quick look at what are the steps required to create different topologies for WSRR. The first one, obviously, is the most simple, straightforward profile creation because it's standalone. And the steps are pretty simple. You create a profile using command line manage profiles, or you use the profile management tool and choose WSRR, or service registry profile as the template. Database, you can configure database as a part of profile creation if you choose to. I've already covered the various panels and the steps required for that, and there are some options there for you that are possible. Business space is deployed by default unless you uncheck and opt out of it, in which case you will not have the business space functionality. You'll need to manually configure it. For federated node topology, what you have is you have to create or you have to augment, depending on whether you're creating a new environment or using an existing environment, you have to create a service registry deployment manager type profile for the deployment manager, and you have to create a managed node profile for the managed node, WSRR node, and you have to federate, and which is pretty much the same steps you would take if you were to create a standard WebSphere federated node topology. To look at, if you have an existing topology and you want to augment WSRR, the steps are no different. What you're looking at is you have to augment the deployment manager template to the deployment manager, to your existing deployment manager, and the template, the deployment manager WSRR template is called dmgr.wsrr, and likewise for the managed node, you have to augment the service registry custom profile or the managed.wsrr template for the managed node. And once you have completed this augmentation, you have to configure your databases using the steps that Kailash has discussed for database configuration. The scripts are available for you, and the database can be remote or local. The one additional step that you're looking at, once you have your augmentation of WSRR in place and your database in place, what you must do is you must actually deploy WSRR from the vManager. And I'll talk about that a little bit in the next chart, but just to complete the steps needed for federated node, the last step you have is to install business space on the DMGR within the scope of the managed node. And we'll cover that as a part of the business space configuration later, a few charts down the line. Let's talk a little bit about deploy WSRR and what it does for you. Moving on to chart 38, 38, beg your pardon. Chart 38 actually shows you what I meant by deploy WSRR using admin console. Once you have the augmentation of WSRR in place, if you log on to your deployment manager and go to application servers, your WSRR server is existing because you already federated it, and you have this WSRR specific functionality which I've highlighted called deploy WSRR, which is nothing but a button that you click, which under the covers deploys WSRR to the node, and it also creates the artifacts for JDBC resources, and it creates SIBUS resources, and it kind of completes the deployment of WSRR in a federated node topology. You do have this possibility of running deploy WSRR using a command line. We will talk about that in just a minute. Moving on to chart 39, which covers cluster topology. The steps are very similar to the federated topology in terms of what you're looking at for configuration. You have to augment or create the deployment manager with dmgr.wsrr as a template, or choose the service registry deployment manager option if you're using a profile management tool. And for the custom nodes you have in your cluster, you are looking at creating them as a part of configuring and creating a cluster, or if your cluster is existing, then you're looking at augmenting these nodes with manage.wsrr template. I'm not going to go into in-depth details on how to create a cluster, as that is no different to WSRR than WebSphere. It's pretty much a WebSphere concept in terms of how you create and federate, you know, the various nodes and create a cluster. So we're not going to cover that as a part of this talk. The next steps are similar to federated topology. You create a WSRR database. Note that it's important that the database be created in place before you deploy. Otherwise, the deploy will fail. Also note that WSRR product provides the various JDBC drivers, and they are available under the install directory /JDBC drivers, and that should be the default path. You do have the option to use your own JDBC drivers if you choose to, in which case you need to change and configure the appropriate JDBC driver path environment variables on the profile. Now, these steps are covered clearly in the information center, so I'm not going to repeat them here, but it's just a basic configuration that you're looking at. Now, the last step there is installing the business space. As stated earlier, business space is configured for you for standalone, but not for federated and cluster, so you have to install business space at the deployment manager level. In this case, you have to install it at a cluster scope, so it's available across the cluster. Moving on to chart 40, this is the same screenshot as I showed before for federated topology in terms of how you deploy WSRR. The only difference here is you're looking at a cluster, and you have the same options to deploy WSRR to the cluster. In this case, we're calling it WSRR cluster 01. You're pretty much deploying it to that cluster. Moving on to chart 41, this is a quick look at the command lines for deploying the commands, deploying WSRR at not using the deploy wizard in admin console, but in terms of using the command line to deploy. And you can see that two commands. One is deploy WSRR app, which deploys the service registry application, and the second is the deploy WSRR bus, which actually creates and configures the SI bus required for WSRR. Now, we covered the actual product install, and we covered the profile creation as both the parts that we looked at. And let's move on to chart 42, where the rest of the charts, we're going to talk about some further customizations, as in we're going to cover specific information related to databases, and we're going to cover information related to business space. And I'll turn it over to Kailash to talk about databases so he can share with you some of the details that we have for database creation.
Okay. If you're on chart 42, if you want to create the database manually, again, like, you know, on the product image, we have provided some scripts in the DB scripts directory on the installation media, or after the product is installed, it will be under WAS install WSRR DB scripts. And under this DB scripts directory, there are subdirectories, each one for a specific database, like DB2, DB2 ZOS, or Oracle and SQL Server. So you can use, based on your database type, you can use these scripts, and there are different scripts available if you want to create, again, like three separate databases, or like, you know, if you want to create a single database. But make sure that if you are using these scripts, the scripts create like databases using the UTF-8 code set, which is mandatory for WSRR. If for any reason, if you have given these scripts to your DBAs and they have not used UTF-8, once you start the product checks will fail and you will get a bunch of exceptions. So it is mandatory that the databases must be created using UTF-8 code set. I have seen time and again, like many customers, the install is successful, but when the product, like, you know, is started in the systemout.log, you'll see a bunch of exceptions. All right, let's move on to slide 43. On this chart, I have given a bunch of links, which are from the Info Center, which clearly document for each database type what are the specific activities that needed to be done. I did not want to go into details of each one because that will extend the session beyond, like, you know, the time limit. So these are very important. So if you are using Oracle, use that link. And based on your database type, what are the specifics that are needed to be done for each database? Let's move on to slide 44. And here is another chart that shows what are the database privileges that need to be set for each database that you're going to create. So if you are creating the databases yourself, or if you have a DBA, make sure that the user IDs have all these privileges that are specified here. If you're basically, when I say the user ID, it's the user ID that's going to use access the database. Okay? Again, like, it's self-explanatory here. Just go through this slide and see what privileges that you need. Moving on to chart 45, configuring business space. This is an expertise of Prasad, so I'll let him handle this.
Thank you, Clark. Business space is a component. While WSRR and WSRR ships several widgets on top of business space, as we discussed, business space gets configured for you as a part of standalone profile. However, you will need to configure it based on your environment if you have a federated or cluster topology. Now, it's also possible that you can get into some very specific custom configuration, especially if you have business space already in your environment as a part of the IBM BPM products, in which case it's possible that you can use your existing business space to host WSRR widgets. We're not going to cover that in the best interest of time at this point, but I just want to take a couple of minutes to walk you through the configuring business space for federated and cluster WSRR topologies. The steps you're looking at is pretty much listed on this chart. And what is involved is you have to install the business space application using the command that this chart shows you. And business space has its own database and database tables that you need to configure. And lastly, you need to configure the endpoints for integrating with WSRR. So the widgets, the WSRR widgets actually can integrate and talk to the WSRR server and get the data to be displayed. I've included a link to the Information Center on this chart, so you can actually look at more specifics. I see we're kind of running beyond our time here, so I'm going to limit myself in terms of how much I can talk about business space. But if you have any questions, certainly please do let us know during the Q&A part of this session. I'll turn this over to Kailash at this point to pretty much wrap up.
All right, thanks, Prasad. Moving on to slide 46, this slide shows the various logs that are generated during the installation. Installation Manager has its own logs, and there are a bunch of XML files. And if you're running on Windows XP, they are created in that directory in Documents and Settings under All Users Application Data IBM Installation Manager. There's a logs directory. I think I had logs, but the color was not correct, so you can't see that. Otherwise, the logs directory is the one which holds the Installation Manager logs. And if you're on Windows 7 or 2008, it'll be in Program Data IBM Installation Manager logs directory. Same thing on Unixes. If you're installing as root, the Installation Manager, they call it the agent data location, is in var IBM Installation Manager. Under that, there is a logs directory. And if you're installing as a non-root user, it'll be in your home directory, var IBM Installation Manager logs. And WSRR install logs are in / temp logs WSRR. The install log is stored there. Same thing with Windows, it's in the temp directory. And during the profile management or profile creation, all the logs that are generated are typically in the WAS install dir logs manage profiles. So if you have any trouble during the installation and if you want to contact us, just send those logs out or you can refer to them yourself. And moving on to slide 47, I have included a couple of links here. One is the WSRR portal. This has excellent information and tutorials about WSRR and the latest information. So I would encourage everybody to take a look at that. And the other one is the WSRR forums, where a bunch of users or every one of us, including developers, respond to most problems, questions, answers, everything. So I would encourage you to look at, keep these two links handy. And also I want to point out that there is another session in a couple of weeks on November 9th. It's also given by Prasad and I. That will cover most of the installation problems as such, the various problems that we have seen with customers and how to troubleshoot them. So with that, I will hand it over to Joe, and we'll open the session for question and answers.
Thank you, Prasad and Kailash, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Our first question is from Ali Sarika. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. This is Ali Sarika. My question is, can I use an 11G database with a 10G GDBC driver? Is that possible, or is that can cause any issues?
Hey, Ali, this is Kailash. You have a PMR for that.
Yes.
Yes. One of the things we want you to do is to have the JDBC driver with the same level of database you're using.
So when you talk about a driver, you mean that do I need to install the 11G client on my server and then use the driver, or is it the one from the admin console?
No, you have to have the same level of client.
So the client has to be 11G. That's what I wanted to find out. Okay.
Also, if you look at the Oracle site, what they have is the JDBC drivers. You can also download the JDBC drivers directly from the Oracle site, and they have the JDBC drivers that match to the specific version that you are on. So you don't need to necessarily install the client. You can download the driver off of Oracle's website and use that JDBC driver. So you don't have to go through the installation of the client to get the JDBC driver.
Okay, gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, gotcha.
So if you want, I have the link in my bookmarks. I can send you that link.
That would be great.
All right.
Thanks.
Sure. You're welcome.
Ali Prasad here. Just want to add to what Kailash was saying. I was just looking up on our system requirements page, which is linked off the WSRR support site, and where we typically document the supported configuration, the configuration that we have tested and we know that works, and specifically for your the version of Oracle that you're inquiring, we do state that we require Oracle 11.1.0.6 JDBC driver. So hopefully, you know, Kailash is going to hopefully you can see that information as well on the website, and Kailash is going to send you the link to the Oracle site.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question is from Prasenth. Your line is open.
My question related to the licensing. As the WSR comes with a WebSphere network deployment, how the licensing would be? In case if I have already licensed for WebSphere ND, which already running on my environment, I want to install WSRR on top of it, how the license will be calculated? Is that whatever license I hold for WAS ND will be enough, or something I need to look for WSSR separately?
Let me see if I can try and answer your question. WSRR packages WebSphere network deployment, and the license you have for WSRR pretty much covers the license for WebSphere network deployment that is shipped as a part of WSRR.
All right. So if I purchase a license for WSR, satisfies with my WAS ND also, right?
Exactly. For specific usage of WSRR, yes.
Is that the same way the license count has been calculated using PBUs for WSSR?
Now, that question is beyond our scope, because we are mostly on the technical side, and your IBM rep should be able to give you more exact specifics on the licensing of WebSphere products.
All right, I got it.
Do you know who your IBM rep is? Would
yeah.
would you like some help on that?
No, we are aware of that. I will follow with my rep.
Okay, yeah, that would be good, because the licensing of the software, especially when you're talking about coexistence, really is something that the field rep looks at your environment and they work it out. From me and Kailash are more on the technical side of the product, so while we are aware and have some information about it, we don't have the exact information, and I don't want to give you any information that I'm not, you know, that's not accurate or that I'm not sure about.
All right, I understood. My next question would be patching related to fixed patching or upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do have any fixed pack patch or future pack upgrade for any issues or non-upgrade, what is the procedure? If I want to upgrade my WAS ND, is that applicable to WSSRR? Or do you have a separate fixed packs for WSRR alone?
WSRR provides its own product fixed packs. So let's kind of take a step back and look at WSRR product and the prerequisites. WSRR is based on WebSphere, and it also requires database, and you could also use business space. Now, each of these prerequisites and the product are separate, standalone, individual software entities that ship their own fixed pack level. So WSRR ships its own fixed packs specific to WSRR product. WebSphere ships its own fixed packs on top of whatever WebSphere network deployment that you're running. And likewise, the same goes for database and business space as well. Now, we do the fixed pack page from where you download WSRR fixed pack does have information and links to the respective dependency software fixed packs in terms of recommendation. And also, if you are using Installation Manager to install the fixed pack, then one of the panels actually checks for new fixed packs available for the dependent products, as in there's one panel in the installation that shows you and gives you the option to install a new WebSphere fixed pack. It's available, and likewise the same for business space.
All right. Thanks. My last question would be about which you said we can install a WSR on top of existing WebSphere installation, right? So in case in my environment, I'm running a couple of applications on existing WebSphere application. I want to install WSR on top of it. Which will be the best practice, installing on existing one or having a separate installation for WSR? Which one will be the best practice out of these two?
That's a very good question, and there's really a lot of dependency on your environment and your enterprise architecture in terms of how you want to deploy WSRR. We have seen both ends of deployment where we've seen users use their existing infrastructure. Specifically, to give you an example, if you have process server or WSB, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, we've seen some users reuse that infrastructure to host or to install WSRR to kind of have that unified BPM and governance environment. But at the other end, we've also seen users prefer to have a standalone service registry environment and not to be combined with their application. So it's entirely, I'm afraid, I mean, there's no one good best practice in the space. It really depends on your business requirement and your business configuration.
All right. Do IBM specify any best practices for this?
We not knowing what your environment is about and also what your plans are for your enterprise architecture, it is difficult for us or IBM or anyone in IBM to really give you a best practice recommendation. This requires certain exposure to your plans to really give you a recommendation, and we don't have that view. So, I mean, you need to really look at, from a planning point of view, my advice would be, from a planning point of view, I suggest you look at your environment infrastructure, which plays a big role, because if you're going to deploy WSRR as a standalone, then you need the specific infrastructure in place, the machines, the hardware in place. You also have to look at whether you're okay with sharing other applications with WSRR from an administrative point of view, because then you will be looking at sharing the same WAS infrastructure, and you might have to look at the administrative aspects of it. So that's the second guideline. The third guideline is, how is the sharing, is that really where you want to go? Is that where you're seeing your environment evolve? As in, we're not talking about just a single install today and letting it, run. Most enterprises typically have a plan in the future in terms of how the products are deployed and used, especially around the governance space. It's generally recommended you have a runtime governance and you have a development governance, which means you're looking at two different WSRR instances. So there are a few aspects that I've just briefly touched upon that you want to consider when you come up with how you want to deploy in your environment. Does that help, Prashant?
Yeah, that satisfies me. Thanks, Prasad and Kailash, for your nice presentation and guidelines.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation.